This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Cherry Hill Volvo team compliments you for choosing the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us, and our team is eager to establish a relationship with you, the Scioli listener. Contact Cherry Hill Volvo.
All right, now this is nothing to do with the C word, which is good, but it does have to do with one of my favorite movies of all time, Tombstone, of course. But what's the true story of Tombstone? I want to welcome to the program Tom Clavin. Tom is the New York Times bestselling author of several books, including his new book, Tombstone, The Earp Brothers, Doc Holliday, and The Vendetta Ride from Hell. This is the wrap-up of a trilogy now. Tom Clavin, welcome to Philadelphia.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be in Philadelphia.
So the gunfight at the OK Corral, probably one of the most famous moments in American history. It's been memorialized in movies, several different movies, of course, Tombstone, Wyatt Earp. Give us the real story of what took place that day.
Well, one of the things that took place that day was a very intense and brief gunfight. You know, most of the time, you mentioned movies, most of the time with movies, when they portray the gunfight, it's a rather long, drawn-out affair, people jumping behind buildings, running around, hiding behind water barrels. It was 30 shots were fired in 30 seconds in this abandoned, vacant lot. The participants were about 15 feet apart. It's a miracle any of them survived, but as it was, eight men were participating in the shootout, and three were killed, and three more were wounded. So it was a very intense fight. And the other thing that I think most people don't know about the story is that, especially for Wyatt Earp, it was not the end of the Tombstone story. I mean, an important part of my book is that after the gunfight, the OK Corral, two of his brothers are shot. And then he and Doc Holliday go on this vendetta ride to track down the guys who attacked his brothers. So there really is a larger, more detailed, more exciting story to tell.
So this is the third book that you've written in this trilogy. Tell us about the other two.
Well, the first one in the trilogy is Wild Bill, about Wild Bill Hickok. And it's called the Frontier Lawman Trilogy because it traces this arc from Wild Bill, the first lone gunman lawman after the Civil War. You know, he could shoot faster and more accurately than the bad guys. And then the second book in the trilogy is Dodge City, where you have very young Wyatt Earp and Bat Masterson as best friends cleaning up the what was then the frontier, which was Dodge City, Kansas. And then you have Wyatt Earp moving on to Tombstone, where he teams up with his brothers and Doc Holliday. And Tombstone becomes really that last Wild West town, because after the gunfight at the OK Corral, pretty much the Wild West was over. You know, the frontier, as it was, it pretty much shut down by then.
When you think about the notion of the Wild West and Wyatt Earp as the lawman coming in that wants to try to bring about some sense of normalcy and bring about the law and that sort of thing, was Wyatt Earp the kind of guy that wanted to be there? Did he feel like he had a calling to be there? I always got this impression of him that he was conflicted, that he wanted to maybe kind of leave that life, but he just felt like he could never get out of it.
Well, I think you using the word conflicted is right on, because Wyatt Earp was a reluctant lawman, certainly by the time, and that's part of the arc of the Frontier Lawman trilogy, too. Certainly by the time he got to Tombstone, he was done with that. You know, he never really set out in his life, gee, I'm going to become one of the most famous lawmen in American history. That was never his ambition. He was a restless sort that kept moving around from place to place, hoping he was going to find an opportunity to become a businessman and to make himself comfortable. And he kept searching for that. And every time, it's almost like the line from The Godfather 2. Every time you think you're out, they draw you back in.
Literally what I was thinking was that exact line. So I'm glad you brought it up.
That's right. You know, every time he thought he was done, he got pulled back in. That's certainly what was happening in Tombstone. He got deputized by his brother Virgil was the marshal there. So Wyatt was like, fine, you take care of it. But then when things were getting pretty bad and Virgil was facing the bad guys, who was he going to deputize? Of course, his brothers Wyatt and Morgan. And that's how they ended up in the gunfight at the OK Corral.
Tom Clavin joins me. He's the author of Tombstone, the Earp Brothers, Doc Holliday, and the Vendetta Ride from Hell. The marshals, the U.S. marshals, and there's a great line in the movie Tombstone where Wyatt turns to the sheriff and says, I don't think I'll let you arrest me today. What was that conflict like back then between local law enforcement and this new federal force of the U.S. marshals?
It was actually a couple of conflicts involving Wyatt. And what he's turning to is a fellow named Johnny Behan, who was the sheriff of Cochise County, where Tombstone was in. It was really Sheriff Behan's job to take care of the situation with the unscrupulous ranchers and the corrupt cowboys. But he wouldn't do it. He was just too intimidated by them. That's how Wyatt ended up having to step into basically a vacuum. But Virgil was not only Marshal of Tombstone, but he was a deputy U.S. Marshal. So there was more of this federal officers who were, you know, in these different municipalities. You had some of the lawmen were good people and doing their jobs, and some, like Johnny Behan, were corrupt people and not doing their jobs. So it was up to the federal lawmen to, come in and take care of what was going on with the local law. And so, I'm sorry, I got this thing in the background here.
No, it's all, we're all working from home these days. It's okay. It's not a problem. Up to the federal law, man. But I mean, America was still of a mindset back then of I don't want the federal government telling me what to do and ordering the states around. I mean, was there a lot of conflict back then? I mean, the federal government, you know, this is still a time when people did not want a strong federal government, did not want the federal government controlling their lives and telling them what to do. And so, I mean, I imagine there was probably a lot of political tension as well between this idea of you know, letting us run our own towns and now, the federales coming in.
Well, there was, and you know, even where we're seeing it today in the coronavirus, where you have local municipalities are kind of chafing under the foot of, let's say, of the larger governments. But that was true even as we were settling the frontier. You know, you had a lot of local law and orders, and a lot of people said, "We'll take care of our own problems." But on the other hand, if you ended up with bad law enforcement in your town, you had to turn to the feds and say, listen, send us a deputy marshal, send us a marshal who doesn't care about the local politics, is here strictly for law and order purposes.
So they were asking then, please send in the marshals, help us out because our towns are being overrun by, cowboys, is that the right way you'd put it? Is that the right phrasing of it?
Well, it is. And cowboys, interestingly, you know, today, a lot of it's because of the movies. We have this romantic notion of the cowboy as a hardworking individualist and upholding of law and order. And it was nice to babies and women and gentlemanly and stuff like that. In those days, cowboy was actually a kind of a derogatory term. It was cowboy. A lot of times it was spelled with a hyphen, a C-O-W hyphen B-O-Y. It's like you had no other skills in life but to ride along with cows. And when you got to town, they were basically a lawless group. So cowboy in those days was not necessarily the ones that were going to uphold law and order.
How about Doc Holliday? I loved Val Kilmer's portrayal of him in Tombstone. I thought he was terrific in that. But, you know, kind of this drunken guy with all kinds of health problems, but just really good with a gun, right?
Well, he was good with a shotgun. Doc was really not that good with a handgun. And Doc Holliday appears in Dodge City and then, of course, in Tombstone, where, you notice in the gunfight at the OK Corral, and they do this in the movie Tombstone, too, which is really a fun movie. And Val Kilmer is the Doc Holliday, I think, of any movie that Doc Holliday's portrayed. Everybody remembers Val Kilmer. But Doc Holliday was not very good with a handgun, and that's why he's the one with the shotgun in the gunfight at the OK Corral. You know, Virgil Earp trades with him. He says, give me your gun here, take my shotgun, because we know you can't hit anything with a handgun, but with a shotgun you can't miss anything.
I love that line. I got two guns, one for each of you. That's one of the best lines in that movie, I think.
That movie has a whole bunch of great lines. I'm your Huckleberry. It has really, it's it's definitely, you know, they take a few liberties here and there, but in a lot of ways, it's, to me, it's one of the films that comes really close to what actually happened at Tombstone, and the way the brothers are portrayed, with, you know, Kurt Russell does a very good job as Wyatt Earp, and then you have the other Bill Pullman plays Morgan Earp, and who plays Virgil Earp again? Sam Elliott. Right. You know, there really is a good portrayal of the actors there, what the Earp brothers to some extent look like, and the way their relationship was with each other.
Well, I'm excited to read your book to get even more details on it. Tombstone, The Earp Brothers, Doc Holliday, and The Vendetta Ride from Hell. Tom Clavin concludes his best-selling Frontier Lawman trilogy. Tom, thanks for coming on the show today, and we'll definitely talk again soon. Your book's available
Thank
everywhere,
you.
So we appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate being on your show.
Talk Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.